There's a moment near the end of A Quiet Place Part 2 that succinctly illustrates the inherent appeal of these movies. It involves a character ever so slowly stepping through an open window and placing their foot atop a cluttered desk on the other side, and the camera lingers on a coffee cup teetering dangerously close to the edge. Step one inch too far, and the mug will be overturned and cause a racket, alerting those pesky aliens with hypersensitive hearing that are lurking in the other room. Scenes like that made the first Quiet Place such a sleeper hit in 2018 because director John Krasinski found clever ways to exacerbate the slow-motion peril of his premise and make the audience squirm. It was one of those high-concept thrillers that holds you in its thrall for 90 minutes and then, once it releases you, reveals the logical holes in its premise. For instance, how come the monsters pick up on nearly imperceptible noises sometimes, but not others? If they're lacking all the major senses except hearing, how are they able to make it to Earth in the first place? And could a baby's cries really be totally muffled inside that homemade carrier, no matter how well it's insulated? The answer to all of the above is, of course, because the plot needs to continue, and I was more willing to go along with the plot this time around. A Quiet Place Part 2 is the rare sequel that's as good as its predecessor, and in some ways, even better. I'm somewhat surprised by that, because the first film works so well as a standalone entity that I can't say I was exactly clamoring for further adventures within its world. But Krasinski has smartly given us an entirely new story without overloading his script with unnecessary expository details. When it comes to slimy monsters, the less we know about their origins, the better. Krasinski himself, who played the steadfast patriarch in the original Quiet Place, appears only in the prologue this time around, a thrilling sequence in which a small-town Little League game is interrupted by the alien invasion. He, of course, met his maker at the end of the last chapter, sacrificing himself to save his wife Evelyn, played by Emily Blunt, and their three children, Reagan, played by Millicent Simmons, Marcus, played by Noah Jupe, and a newborn baby. The story here picks up the moment that the first film ended, as the surviving family members flee their now compromised compound and go wandering through a desolate landscape. They eventually encounter a family friend named Emmett, played by Cillian Murphy, who's barricaded himself inside an underground bunker and is grappling with survivor's guilt following the deaths of his own wife and kids. Reagan, despite being deaf, discovers that a conspicuous radio signal is being broadcast from an island that's only a short journey away, and she heads off with Emmett to search for potential survivors. Whereas the last film trapped its characters in a single location for most of the runtime, Quiet Place Part 2 separates them for most of its second half, cutting back and forth between each of their individual missions. Evelyn, as she leaves the compound for supplies, Marcus and the baby inside an old safe that holds just 2 minutes of oxygen at a time, and Reagan and Emmett on a journey with an uncertain endpoint. There's a terrific action sequence about two-thirds of the way through the movie that interweaves these disparate strands through an ingenious bit of parallel editing, as each character respectively grapples with air, fire, and water. I don't want to spoil much more because the film works best in the moment, and in scene after scene where we're practically forced into silence in the theater, lest we alert the aliens with our own rustling candy wrappers. That's the reason that both Quiet Place movies have worked so well. It's not because of the slimy monsters, which look like a cross between venom and praying mantises, but because everyday foibles become dangerous. Your clothes catch on a chain-link fence, or you bump into something or knock something over, and you're instantly dead. The clumsy among us wouldn't last a day. For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Nathan Weinbender.